Why China is investing more in Africa and the appeal of Lego even as profits are down so far this year.
I could take a brick 20 years old and a brick out of a box today and they snap together perfectly.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. This week, we expect a final decision in Washington on tariffs on another $200 billion worth of Chinese imports. As the world's two biggest economies continue to battle on trade, China is fostering better relations with Africa. At a forum that ends today in Beijing, Chinese President Xi Jinping is offering $60 billion of additional financing. Now, one of Kenya's richest men and best-known entrepreneurs is Chris Kirubi. His businesses range from broadcasting to shopping malls. He explains what Chinese investment has meant for Kenyan business.
They're investing in anything, infrastructure, roads, bridges, dams. I know right now that they're investing in building one of the tallest buildings in Nairobi. And then, of course, trade. We worry about big debts. It's a big debate in Kenya. But it's either you develop by borrowing or you develop by owning your own funds. If you don't have funds, you really have to be smart and use somebody else's money and make it work for you. What really governments in Africa need to do is work a more smarter way to find how they make policies so that if Chinese are coming to invest, they must be made to invest in partnership with the local people. And if we have that, then 50%, 40% of whatever investment does remain in the hands of the local people. I'm worried when a Chinese government company owns 100% of an airport or a road. We would like to see us do a joint partnership. What we want is other players like the Americans, the Brits, to come over. And we were very happy that Theresa May came to see our president the other day. And she said they want to be number one in Africa. That a bit of competition does raise the benefit for us. And we pick the best option that we can get.
Chris Kirubi, let's do the numbers. Fitch this hour warned of, quote, significant and widespread downside risks for Turkey. The ratings firm slashed its outlook on the country's economic growth to 3.8%. And all eyes on Argentina today after the government's newly announced austerity measures to tackle the nation's economic crisis failed to stop the currency's recent decline. The peso fell more than 4% yesterday. Now, today, Argentina's finance minister heads to Washington to try and secure an early release of a $50 billion IMF loan agreed in May. Jimena Blanco, head of Americas at Verisk Maplecroft, explains why the meeting is important for both sides.
It needs to have a positive result for both sides. For the IMF, because Argentina was a poster child in the 90s that failed, it was now the poster child of, you know, the reform in Latin America. It doesn't want it to fail again. For the Macri administration, because it needs to show Argentine voters that going into a package with the IMF that it's economically favorable for Argentina can also be something that isn't socially painful. And so the government really needs to get the IMF to help them. Argentina has one of the highest pass-through rates in the world. That means the currency devaluation actually translates into prices and inflation. So we're talking about inflation at 30% already. When people go to the supermarket, they notice that day in and day out.
Jimena Blanco. Today, Lego announced its results. Profits are down from the same time a year ago, partly down to the collapse of Toys R Us stores. But Gary Grant, chairman of The Entertainer, an independent British toy retailer, says it's a predictable blip and the brand has endured.
Lego has been around now for over 50 years. And the little red block, the white block, the blue block that we recognise is exactly the same shape and size and quality that it was when Lego was first launched.
So when I was a kid, you know, you could build really like boxy animals and houses. And I saw last week that Lego built a whole life-size Bugatti racing car. That's how complex those kits, you know, the pieces are now. Do you think that complexity is an asset? Because as a parent, I sometimes find myself going, what about just going back to the basic bricks? I mean, do we really want, you know, Frozen and Star Wars shaped Legos all over the house?
The basic box of bricks that we had as children are still available today. And those basic bricks allow children in their creative minds to be in free fall, just to get the bricks out and build something that they can just, not following the instructions, they just go with the flow. But the lion's share of the bricks that we sell today are sets, which build into specific things. And that's where you get the different elements of the Lego range, which enable much more complex things to be made. The fantastic instruction booklets that the children work their way through, and the end result, which is absolutely so realistic, whether you're talking about vehicles in the city range, whether you're talking about Star Wars, which are licensed Lego items. Lego has a very, very wide appeal.
Now, Lego is talking about going eco, so trying to find alternatives to the plastic bricks. Is that kind of eco ethos a big concern in toy retail?
It is a big concern, but I think the plastic debate that we're having is largely about single-use plastic. Many, many boxes of Lego have come out of the loft that are 25 years old. I could take a brick 20 years old and a brick out of a box today, and they snap together perfectly. So provided the material compound that is more eco-friendly can be found, I've no doubt that Lego will move to a different type of material.
That's independent toy retailer Gary Grant, and I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.